Blog Talk Radio.
I see some black people looking at me, mad. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking dish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, bitch. Pat Cumble ain't never took this shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, this Mike Wallace, run!
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Hey, I'm a little man. It's quite a snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the
man
was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And welcome to Reese on the Radio on this Therapy Thursday. That's right. It's March the 29th, 2012, almost near the end of the week. The number's 347-308-8701. As much as we'd like to get into other news, apparently nothing else seems to be out there. The Trayvon Martin case is covering every form of media. Now, I can go into pink slime. I could go into Apple. But it seems like everybody's just regurgitating old news, old news, old news. The Trayvon Martin case has completely captured the attention of the American people. And whether or not the story is going one way or another, for or against George Zimmerman, one thing is for sure, is that every person around is taking this story personally. Let me be the first to say, you know, we here at Reese on the Radio have taken this story and we've gone, I can't say we've gone all over the place. We said what we thought in the beginning. This appeared to be a situation where, according to what we learned in the media, that George Zimmerman had stalked, hunted down, in so many words, and shot Trayvon Martin. But of course, as the facts started to emerge and started to go more and more, we always said, look, this has got to be a matter for the police. But again, as I and others here have made their statements, probably with the exception of our intrepid crew member, Kool-Aid Man, you know, we all had to sort of temper our response to what it was that was going on. We try really, really hard to make sure, look, let's make sure we know what it is that we're talking about here. We can allege, you know, we talked about the effing coon that we thought we heard over and over again. And that became a part of the collective. Did he say that? Was it sure he said it? Sounds like he said it to me, but it was unsure. But then as more and more started to come out, of course, George Zimmerman's race, witnesses started to come forward. Many of us had to back off, but others refused to. And the reason why I always suggested, look, let's get to the bottom of this. And because of where I come from, and when I say where I come from, with my recent court case over a year ago, I remember sitting in Rikers Island in a Manhattan detention center, always reminding people when you read the news or when you hear a story, you can't automatically convict someone. And I would laugh all the time, just to give you a little scenario. I know some people are going like, "What? Where the hell is he going with this?" Trust me, there's a point. I'm just going about it in a roundabout way. It's what I do. When I was sitting in Rikers Island, I remember having a conversation about a major case that was happening in the news media, how it had captivated everyone. And in talking about it, people locked up in jail, claiming to be innocent, as I was, would immediately convict the person charged in the crime while they sat in jail. And I had to remind them, gentlemen, you're locked up in jail. The way that you are convicting the person in the paper, would you accept that if someone were talking about your case on the cover of the paper? And they all had to stop. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I guess you're right. It's like, wait, you guess I'm right. You're convicting somebody in the news while you sit in jail trying to fight for your freedom and trying to tell other people how you are innocent and how they're vilifying you or excoriating you in the prosecutor's office. They say you're guilty, but you're saying that you're innocent, and people think that you're guilty, and here it is, you're doing the same exact thing. Because most people believe that once you've been charged with something, you must be guilty of something. It's who it is that we are as people. No matter what the case is, if you're accused of robbery, you probably did something wrong. You probably didn't do the whole thing, but you probably did something wrong. Corrections officers say that all the time. I got that all the time. Oh, Reese, you're so smart. What are you doing in jail? What, smart people don't go to jail either. Smart people aren't accused of crimes. There are plenty of parts of smart people accused of crimes. Such is the case with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. Some of us get so caught up in our outrage based on how it is presented to us that we jump to conclusions. We're all guilty of it. It's a human reaction because we've been trained and conditioned to behave a certain way. Our media dictates how we see the world. See, we live in our households. We live in our own little cubicle, if you will. And how we get information are by those who give it to us. Latinos have a great line when they talk about TV. Puerto Ricans especially, and I'm not saying this as a slur, but anyone who knows a Puerto Rican, at least back in the 80s and 90s, when I had a closer relationships to Puerto Ricans because I lived around them growing up. When Puerto Ricans talk about television, the Puerto Rican kids, the girls, they would always say this one phrase. It's like, yo, you want to watch some TV? It's like, yeah, what they giving? And it's so true, that terminology, because I used to always laugh at them. It was like, why do they always say that? Why? What they given? The truth is, that's what's happening. You're being given information. How you receive it is your job. How you watch it, listen to it, read, that's all up to you. You are given information. Most people don't seek information today. They are given information. And even we here on Reseller Radio, we were given information. But because I'm such an avid news guy, I'm stuck on the news like drugs. It's my crack. I just go around and search for more and more information. People don't do that anymore. The irony here, ladies and gentlemen, is that here we live on in the information society, and our country is dumber than it's ever been. We have tons of vehicles to receive our information. Tons. Internet, radio, television, our smartphones, as they call it. I love that commercial. Why do people with smartphones do stupid things with them? This is the state of our union today. We have to remind ourselves, by using the old Puerto Rican adage, what they're given. And be responsible enough to dissect it. These are the same people who take that information, run with it, act like they know everything, and then cite afterwards, you can't believe everything you read or hear. But when it comes to crime or murder or sensationalized stories, we're the first to bandwagon ourselves into a collective. We have a tendency to be to have a mob mentality to as far as things go. It's the reason why they do polls. Well, 63% of the people say this. You don't want to be the oddball. This is how fashion works. This is how television works. It's mobbing us into what it is that we call society. What's cool? What isn't cool? Don't want to be a part of that. That's not cool. Can't wear those sneakers. Can't wear those high heel shoes. That's not cool. It's the destruction of individualism, which is what it is that we do here at Reese on the Radio. And it's what it is that we promote. The Trayvon Martin case is important to many people because we don't have Casey Anthony to kick around anymore. We don't have Osama bin Laden to kick around anymore. O.J. Simpson, done deal. So America, or the nation, or the world, needs a new villain. Because in some sort of way, they think it brings us all into a collective. But there are a few out there who refuse to jump in. There are those out there who wish to wait and get the facts. So as I said, the Trayvon Martin case has now hit a fever pitch because there's been some backlash. Recently on Orlando's Fox 35, they got to speak to George Zimmerman's father. And I would normally play the George Zimmerman tape, the George Zimmerman's dad's full tape about what it is that he says happened. Nah, don't want to go there. That to me is irrelevant. Everything that this person's saying and that person's saying, I want the evidence to come out first. But I do want to talk about how it's affecting the collective. This is important to talk about. So I'm going to play what it is that I deem, for me, an important portion of George Zimmerman's father's interview. Now take heed, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the most relevant of all of it. George Zimmerman is a white and Latino man. He is a registered Democrat. He tutored African-American children. I'm almost certain, and I'm going to bet my frickin' reputation on this, that George Zimmerman voted for Barack Obama. And I'm willing to go a step further and say probably so did his parents. Here's George Zimmerman's father.
Robert Zimmerman says it's been tough dealing with all the criticism.
I never foresaw so much hate coming from the president, the Congressional Black Caucus, the NAACP, every organization imaginable is trying to get notoriety or profit from this in some way. But there's so much hate that I've never been involved in hate, and George hasn't, and it's really unbelievable.
What's your message to them?
To the Martin family?
To the president, the NAACP, all those people that you're saying are just out there.
I just hope at one point everyone will go beyond the hate that they have.
The man is shocked by the president of the United States. He's shocked by the president of the United States. Does that sound like a man who did not support Barack Obama? Because see, if he didn't, now hear me out when I'm saying this. If this man did not support Barack Obama, he wouldn't be surprised. He'd have been a guy who'd have said, yeah, you know what, I would have expected that from him because I didn't like him in the beginning. Why would George Zimmerman's dad say that? I'm surprised. I'm surprised at the president. It would sound like buyer's remorse, wouldn't it? That's what I get. That's what I hear.
Robert Zimmerman says it's been tough dealing with all the criticism.
I never foresaw so much hate coming from the president, the Congressional Black Caucus, the NAACP, every organization imaginable is trying to get notoriety or profit from this in some way. But there's so much hate that I've never been involved in hate, and George hasn't, and it's really unbelievable.
What's your message to them?
To the Martin family?
To the president, the NAACP, all those people that you're saying are just out there.
I just hope at one point everyone will go beyond the hate that they have.
I wish everyone would go beyond the hate that they have. I've never been involved with hate, and I'm surprised at the president. The only reason why this man would be surprised at the president is because he thought that this was a post-racial president. Only reason. Read between the lines. Surprised. If you listen to the words, they're trying to paint this family as racist. Bill Maher is still calling George Zimmerman a white man. People in the Congressional Black Caucus, Frederica Wilson.
Mr. Speaker, this is Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin's murderer is still at large. It's been 1 month, 30 days with no arrest. I want America to see this sweet young boy who was hunted down like a dog, shot in the street, and his killer is still at large. Not one person has been arrested in Trayvon's murder. I want to make sure that America knows that in Sanford, Florida, there was a young boy murdered. He is buried in Miami, Florida, and not one person has been arrested, even though we all know who the murderer is. This was a standard case of racial profiling. No more. No more. We will stand for justice for Trayvon Martin. Mr. Speaker, I reserve the balance of my time.
Mr. Hank Johnson, Democrat of Georgia.
He was executed for WWB in a GC, walking while black in a gated community.
And let's not forget Miss Maxine Waters.
Well, I think his mother described it perfectly. She said it's a character assassination. We're seeing a lot of facts unveiled each day. As each day goes by, we learn more and more about not only this character assassination and the leaks, but what happened the night of his death. We're learning, just as you opened this program with, that the lead investigator said that this Zimmerman should be charged with manslaughter, and it was overturned literally by the state's attorney. When we first heard about this case, we didn't know that. An investigation must go on. The Justice Department must be on the ground. They've got to be involved with this. There are too many unanswered questions, and I really personally believe this is a hate crime.
Robert Zimmerman says it's been tough dealing with all the criticism.
I never foresaw so much hate coming from the president, the Congressional Black Caucus, the NAACP. Every organization imaginable is trying to get notoriety or profit from this in some way. But
we'll take a break. You tell me. I think a lot of people are going to be damaged by this. We'll be back with more Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. Where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for President.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for President, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for President.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back 28 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. Don't forget to check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com, if you like, and our Twitter account, which is ReeseOnRadio. If somebody can show me how to get rid of my old ReeseOnTheRadio account, which I have my nephew put it up, and we can't remember what the password is, and I really would like to get rid of that one so I can get ReeseOnTheRadio on Twitter. That's what I'd like to do. But I don't know exactly how to do it. So the minute I can find that out or anybody knows, please send me an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That would be helpful. Anyway, nonetheless, there was another story that we covered a couple of weeks ago. And sadly enough, it didn't get a lot of coverage. And the reason why is because no one wanted to cover it until they were forced to, which is always the case when it deals with a liberal dealing with the liberal media. Now, that being said, I probably would have been protected, come hella high water if I had been a liberal when I got arrested. But I'm not. So you can demonize somebody who's a conservative, especially a black conservative. Nobody even wants to touch the story now. With all the new evidence that's come out on my story, nobody even wants to come near it. Nah, we like it better when you're demonized and demagogue. That's kind of where we want to go. I got to be cool with it. It's the nature of the beast, and that's fine. There are not enough people out there with enough courage, cool with me, not enough courage to report the truth because they're fearful, and I'll talk about that another time. But anyway. to get back to the story. The Daily Caller, which is Tucker Carlson's website, media website, did a story a couple of weeks back where a woman who was at a fundraiser for Tom Hanks' child's school back in 2004, where Tom Hanks is on stage with a man in blackface wearing a afro, wearing a leopard print toga, carrying a gorilla. Well, when the video started to get some traction and people were starting to talk about it, on March 20th, Tom Hanks released a statement, and this was through his publicist, where they said, quote, Hanks denounces the presence of the blackface-wearing James Montgomery, claiming that Tom Hanks was blindsided when one of the parents got up on stage in a costume that was hideously offensive then and hideously offensive now. Well, new footage that's been obtained by the Daily Caller indicates that Tom Hanks has been less than truthful when he claimed that he was blindsided for an appalling few moments when a white man in blackface joined him in that 2004 fundraising auction. Turns out that another video has surfaced. That's right. Another video has surfaced. The additional footage from the 2004 event, obtained exclusively by the Daily Caller, shows James Montgomery in full view of Hanks beginning approximately 10 minutes before he joined Hanks at the microphone to introduce the auction's final item, a giant stuffed gorilla, and holding a dowry of 5,000 shares in a pharmaceutical company. One portion of the video shows Montgomery in full costume slow dancing with an unknown party guest between the dinner and the auction. Another was shot from behind Hanks as he begins the auction. It shows Montgomery, the most visible person standing in the sea of seated guests, clearly in Hanks' line of sight. The third excerpt, Hanks is a mere feet away from the black-faced and wigged James Montgomery as he awards the auction item to a bidder. So Tom Hanks is flat out lying. According to the report, all three, and I saw the video, all three camera stops were recorded before the moments depicted in the video the Daily Caller published on March 20th, which showed the moments after Hanks later said he was blindsided. The Congress for Racial Equality, Niger Innes, he's the spokesperson, has called for President Obama to remove Tom Hanks from the narration of The Road We Travel, his 2012 reelection campaign film. Innes calls the incident an orchestrated, heinous and racist step and fetch it routine that Mr. Hanks was clearly a part of. I call upon President Obama, quote, who has Tom Hanks doing a narration of this campaign video, to remove Hanks' voiceover from the video and end an association or affiliation with Tom Hanks. That was what Niger Innes told the Daily Caller. So Tom Hanks is boldly lying, 100%. Boldly lying. I watched this entire video and I was stunned because I saw the video and I said blindsided, you know, like, you know, you're selling the guys, but I'm watching the video and you can see this guy, and I don't know how tall this CEO of Montgomery & Company, James Montgomery, is, but he's tall in the video. It's either he's in a sea of Lilliputian people, or he indeed is a giant. In other extremely racist news, we already talked about yesterday how Spike Lee had tweeted the address of the wrong George Zimmerman. A Michael George Zimmerman's family was harassed earlier in the week when Spike Lee got a tweet from a guy who only has 4,000 viewers, tweeted it to Spike Lee, and Spike Lee tweeted it to his 250,000 followers on Twitter. Well, today he went so far as to call the family and apologize. Said that he would pay for any expenses that they had. Saying that he apologized for sending out their address and their harassment. And then, of course, sent out a tweet telling people to leave them alone. But it gets worse, ladies and gentlemen. It gets worse. Comedian Roseanne Barr tweeted the correct address of George Zimmerman's family. That's right. No one is reporting this. No one is reporting this. One news outlet is reporting this. That's one. I'm the second. Roseanne Barr not only tweeted the correct address of George Zimmerman's family, she also threatened to go down to their house herself. The strangest part about this deed by Roseanne Barr is that she did it after Spike Lee received scrutiny for sending the wrong address. So this was not simultaneous. This was post-Lee apology. So Roseanne Barr knows that the new Black Panther Party have a bounty out on George Zimmerman. They know that there are people out there hoping to collect on either the $10,000 or the $1 million the Black Panther Party has put on his head. But this woman tweets the correct address and even threatens to go down there. Now, according to reports, she has since removed the tweet. But here's where it gets odd. She only removed the tweet after her own followers told her she was irresponsible. Here's what I find extremely odd. Why did no black people tell Spike Lee what he did was irresponsible? But Roseanne Barr's white people told her it was irresponsible. Her white followers, Spike Lee's Negro followers, said nothing. I don't get it. And no media outlet is covering it? Not any? People have not touched this story? I find it mind-boggling. People are going to be very, very shocked because one of two things are going to happen. And I'll go one of three things can possibly happen. But I'm going to bet one of two things are going to happen. One, something violent is going to happen in regards to George Zimmerman, be it once removed, twice removed, something. I'm positive of it. I guarantee it, because of the reckless behavior by all involved. Because of that reckless behavior, it's inevitable. They need this. If it doesn't die down, it's inevitable. So I predict something violent is going to happen to something related to, someone related to, someone associated with George Zimmerman. It's bound to happen. Two, I predict that there is going to be, before Tuesday, I'm going to give it a length of time, by Tuesday of next week, there is going to be a bombshell. It's going to swing one way or the other on this one. But nonetheless, I'll put any amount of money on it. there will be a slew of embarrassment. The embarrassment will be so large that people will act, I promise you, will act like they never said a thing. And it will cause the entire story to wash away. Or probability, and this is the last one, George Zimmerman turns out to be a complete liar and he racially profiled the kid. And that, honestly, I think that's really, really far-fetched from what's going to happen. I think that this is going to be landslidable back in people's faces. I almost see it blowing up. And it's going to affect people politically because they got involved with it in such a way. Mark my words, ladies and gentlemen. I'll put any amount of money on it. Mark my words. It may go really high up. If he doesn't put a stop to this, if he doesn't step up and tell people to knock it off, this is going to get worse. I promise you. Stick around. I got plenty of entertainment. Plenty of entertainment news today. Stick around. It's Mix on the Radio. Right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
This one time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out. Because he was Chinese. I was like, why is he talking like that? He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like... He didn't need to talk. I know just what he's talking about. I look right back at him. I was like... So my dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple.
terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters.
They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They're terrorists. They know the black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got five black... Hello?"
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donut unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back. 47 minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the radio on blogtalkradio.com. And as promised, you know, Thursday, we're going to do a lot more entertainment news. So, JC, your girl Lindsay Lohan is finally off probation or some crap. I don't know.
Yes.
Are you happy about that?
Yes. Well, because Hollywood's gotten kind of boring.
This is true.
I mean, you don't have the train wreck that was Britney Spears. Kim Kardashian chick, she's not doing anything worth watching.
Come on, man. The girl just got flower doused on her. What do you mean she's, you know? So what do you mean that
she got flowered?
So what? She got flowered. So I'm just saying. I mean, that was interesting.
No.
That wasn't interesting to you?
No.
Come on.
No. I mean, it's unfortunate for Lindsay, but I just don't think she's done. I don't think she's done.
Come on. What do you keep thinking? She's not. Listen to me. That career is zero. She's going to have to do something so remotely over the top. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so over the top, she's going to have to do, like Courtney Love. Remember when Courtney Love was, like, completely spiraling out of control, and then she was in that movie, The People versus Larry Flint, and got nominated for an Oscar?
Yep.
Like, going to have to do something so over the top. She's going to have to pull like a Hillary Swank Will Smith sort of thing in order to, like, so Hillary Swank did Boys Don't Cry. Like, automatically when Hillary Swank was in Boys Don't Cry, where she played, you know, plays a little boy or whatever, when she does that, right? When she does that, people forget that Hillary Swank is ever in Karate Kid 3. Like, people don't even remember she was in that.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah. Like, Hillary Swank, nobody even mentions that she was in that karate flick movie. Who am I thinking about? Oh, Will Smith. You know, Will Smith. Will Smith had a fledgling, like, movie career. Until he kissed a man in 6 Degrees in Separation.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's going to have to pull one of those. She's going to have to play like, you know, hey, Charlize Theron. You know, she had to play that, you know, that big brooding, you know, chicken monster. You know, the serial killer. She had to do that. Lindsay Lohan's going to have to play like a crack hoe. You know, like she may have to like rip it from real life in order to get her life back in order. She can't play a pretty girl. She can't play like a diva. She can't play anybody important. She's got to play somebody down and out, like some hooked on heroin prostitute who almost gets murdered, you know, and she fights for redemption and like her. Who's the common guy or chick? Like, who's the guy that could be her Denzel Washington in Philadelphia? You know what I mean? Like, somebody who brings
right.
her, you know, from who saves
obscurity.
Her life. From obscurity. She's got to get, like, somebody like a Justin Timberlake to play, like, a, you know, the backup
the hero.
Guy. You know, whom?
The hero. You know, I got it.
Who you got?
She could be saved by Cuba Gooding Jr.
That's it. There you go. Cuba Gooding
and
Jr.
And saving her from her lesbian dyke, crack pimp, Queen Latifah.
Nope. Queen Latifah, nope. Not believable. Queen Latifah was not believable as a female villain. Monique, on the other hand, is.
Them hairy legs, it'll work.
What's that?
Them hairy legs, it'll work.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Monique. It's
I don't
got
know,
to
did you see
Monique.
Her in Precious?
Yeah, I heard she was a bad guy.
Oh, in Precious, she was amazing.
But she was mean,
Monique
right?
Monique was amazing, and listen, you've never seen a movie, I take it.
Of course not.
Reese? I mean, I'm not a big fan of Monique. I was so glad that they got rid of her over BET. I couldn't take no more of that mammy in that night.
Yeah, I'm so glad about that, too.
Yeah, that was absolutely horrible. Sugar, you got to hug yourself. I really couldn't take it. But you've got to see her in Precious. Precious, wow.
Well, I understand.
Dude, I implore you.
But you get my meaning, right? Like she can play a villain. Right? She can play a villain.
Yeah, but if you revive Chloe from Set It Off, and let her smack Lindsay Lohan around for a little bit.
Because now you're going into a different thing. You have to understand. Queen Latifah's the anti-hero in that movie. You know, her final, like, when she gets shot and killed in the barrage.
I mean, that type, though. I mean, no, I'm not saying necessarily that character,
but I'm
I mean,
just
that
saying,
type of character.
There's a reason why. It's like, yes, I'll put it to you like this. When you watch the movie Set It Off, no matter what it is that you know about Queen Latifah, the reason why you recognize Queen Latifah, because Queen Latifah almost has, what she has in Set It Off is a Joe Pesci sort of role. You know she's a bad guy. But you kind of like her. Like, we all loved Joe Pesci because we knew he was a scumbag, but he was like, you know, he's the anti-hero. We know he's a bad guy.
Right, right.
Gets it in the end, you kind of go, like, yeah, he did have it coming. But in a lot of ways, it's bittersweet because, like, you know, he kind of made the movie. Queen Latifah playing a bad guy it's almost like a heartwarming role. You know what I mean? You're not really thrilled about her getting killed.
Right.
Thank God they save it for the end of the movie. You know,
let
it
be love slave to Gabourey Sidibe.
Nah, I don't like her.
Love
I don't like
slave to Gabourey Sidibe.
I can't even say her darn name. I don't like her one bit. But that's what Lindsay Lohan needs. She don't need a whole lot of black characters. She's got to play a drugged out crack hoe. She's got to be.
To Robert Downey Jr.
No. Not a pretty woman sort of thing. She's got to be really, really like, I like the Cuba Gooding Jr. role. I like Cuba Gooding Jr. as like a drug counselor trying to get her back from the dredges of the earth. And she just keeps going back and she's addicted. And, you know, she's got to take the top off, though. Let's be honest. She's already done Playboy. Get with the program.
And he's got to wear the teeth that he wore on radio.
This is about Lindsay Lohan, not about Cuba Gooding Jr. Lindsay Lohan.
Well, I'm just trying to listen. All right, listen, Hollywood's calling. I'm just trying to fill in the gaps.
And I'm thinking, you know what it is? Take the name of that movie that Rebecca De Mornay was in called Whore. That's what you call the movie, because everyone would run to that. Today, Lindsay Lohan in Whore. It works.
I like Rebecca De Mornay, too.
I liked her, too. Trust me, man. She was hot back in the day. Rebecca De Mornay, Teresa Russell. No, not Rebecca De Mornay. I'm almost certain it's Teresa Russell. It's either Teresa Russell or Rebecca De Mornay, because I may have that confused, because I like Teresa Russell, too. But it's got to be Lindsay Lohan. It's got to read that way in red, thick letters. Lindsay Lohan in white little letters, and then big, red, bold letters. Lindsay Lohan, whore. That's it. That's the name of the movie. And it's got to be directed by, like, Robert De Palma. Like a guy who can do gritty work. Like gritty, evil work, showing her, like, you know. I mean, I don't want to see, like, a lot of violence and stuff like that, but I got to see some real grittiness. You know? Like, you know, she's...
Something,
you know,
dark.
Yeah, something dark. Lindsay Lohan doing stuff that's uncomfortable where, like, the MPAA has got to go, oh, man, I don't know if I can give this an R rating or an NP, you know, like a NC-17 rating. Like, something like that. That would bring her from the drudges. She's got to save her career. I'm telling you, if you're listening out
there... I'm all for it.
Lindsay Lohan.
I'm all for it.
Directed by Robert De Palma. That's the movie. That's the only way she's going to get her career back. She's got to do it. It's the only way. Let's go to a break. I got a great story about Carson Daly coming up. It's funny, dude. It is so funny.
I hate him.
Yeah, good. Then you'll be able to decide on whether or not the joke is funny or it's just, I don't know, if it's insensitive when we come back. And you know what? Make a variation of this music in the Lindsay Lohan movie. Lindsay Lohan.
To do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb thoughts,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted
Speaking of dumb fucks, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City.
Number two, what makeup at Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look?
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats,
Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fuck up this shit, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas. Bitch. Ted Koppel ain't never took this shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back 3 minutes after the hour on this Therapy Thursday, March the 29th, 2012. Hannity just came on as another family attorney. I've seen three family attorneys for Trayvon Martin's family. What's the deal? That's a lot of family. I mean, a lot of lawyers for family. I mean, are they being sued or something? What's going on? Whatever, we'll get into that. As promised, it's Thursday, so we got to get into some entertainment news. Had to lighten it up on Thursday, and I promised the guys that we would do this from now on, that Therapy Thursday would be, you know, some of our personal issues, and of course our issues with the Hollywood elite, if you will. Carson Daly, aside from the whole hosting TRL back in the days, and the Carson Daly show late nights, and the, what else? He's the host of The Voice on NBC. Apparently has a radio show, too. Apparently he's some low-budget Ryan Seacrest. He does everything. And Carson, I guess, injecting himself into talk, as radio hosts do, you sort of inject yourself in the day's stories, as we do here. But injected himself into the story. And look, we bash people here all the time. I'll be the first to tell you, I'll bash everybody who's in opposition of what it is that I believe. So, JC, look, you know me. I've made gay comments or comments about homosexuals, but it's been in context. You know, we played a little sound bite. You know, JC, play the work sound bite we always play when we talk about the gays. We talk about homosexuals. We played a little the little sound bite from RuPaul. I think it's work or whatever.
Where's your runway? Hey. I have one thing to say. That's Shay, Shantae, 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 Shantae.
And we play that lovingly. No one here is a homophobe. I'm not afraid of you. But Carson injects himself, of course, into the story about the flight the flight captain on JetBlue, who apparently went, and everyone's using words like berserk, crazy, you know, meltdown. He lost control. That's the best way to put it. Now, if I wanted to be mean-spirited, I'd use those words. He went berserk, he went crazy, whatever. He lost control. He lost control of himself. For what reasons, I don't know. But he obviously was going through something, and he lost control. So here's Carson Daly talking about it on his radio show, and for some odd reason, injecting homosexuals. Not exactly sure why, but he does.
Turns out, on this particular flight, most of the people were on their way to some sort of security conference in Las Vegas.
It was a group of very large men on that
plane. So
there's
a bunch of dudes and well-trained dudes. What are the odds of that?
Thank God, right?
Thank God. Yeah. If that were me, I mean, my luck, it would be like, this is the flight going to Pride in San Francisco. Yeah. I mean, that would be my colleague.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're headed down to Vegas for the floral convention. Can we get a little help up here with the pilot? Oh, no.
Oh, no, it might break my nails.
No, thank you. Handle it.
So, I mean, not that it was extremely funny, but I know you don't like Carson Daly. So, I mean, it's somewhat amusing, but he got some beef because the mother of one of the passengers on flight 93 on September 11th heard what he said, and it turns out that her son was openly gay and was one of the guys who fought against the terrorists causing that plane to go down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And she's like, don't you dare tell me that somebody who was gay wouldn't step up to the challenge. Like, he's not being reprimanded by, like, you know, sponsors or anything like that, but this woman was somewhat offended. She's like, you know, what are you talking about? My son was openly gay and he got into the mix. I mean, that man's a hero now. So it was a little insensitive, but I thought Carson Daly was, you know, down for the cause. I thought he was, like, you know, homosexual hero.
Poster child, I thought.
Say again?
I thought he was the poster child.
Yeah, I thought he was a hero for the gays.
I thought so, too.
I mean, come on. I mean, he's deeply involved in the music industry. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of openly gay people in that arena. Some closeted, but there's openly gay people in that arena.
Yeah.
So I find it a bit strange that he's making a joke about how tough gays are.
Wow.
But you don't like them anyway, right?
Listen. I was so glad Ryan Seacrest came along and crushed him like the bug that he is.
Really?
He was hot crap back in the day. He was hot crap banging Christina Aguilera.
You know, wait. Is there really any truth to that he used to date her?
Yeah. Well, it was talk. It was a lot of talk. And I think it came out that, I'm almost certain that it came out. Back then, catering to the pimply face, little fat girl that stood out in Times Square on a medium between the on the street screaming, jumping up and down, yelling.
Well, that's just claim to fame. I mean, I don't think he's much relevant today. I think he's had his day in the sun.
You know what's crazy? What was the name of that damn show he was on MTV? With the, I mean, yeah, MTV.
Total Request Live.
TRL. Right,
yeah.
Right. Do you know that show got put out of business, got crushed?
By 106 and Park.
By the big black machine?
Yeah. Isn't it odd that he got put out of business by 106 and Park?
With his own concept.
Yeah, exactly. Beat him at his own concept. I think it's because it had its day in its sun, and it, you know, it
and Ryan Seacrest came along, and America fell in love with him.
Yeah, exactly. Some other interesting news: a movie that I love, and I love, and
oh,
you know,
boy.
I'm the first guy to say,
I know you're not getting ready to go there.
I don't like sequels, but when I heard about this, I'll admit. I got a little excited. If this is what happened last night.
From the Action 4 News team.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, hello, Conan. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Ron. Good to see you, Ron.
Good
yeah.
to see you. I like to keep my chops up, jam with the cats here, you know? These cats, maybe.
Yeah.
Smoke a little tea afterwards.
Yeah.
See if a little backstage cutie ends up on my lap.
Yeah.
And then later that night, she's playing my flute. Right? And by flute, I mean my turgid penis. That's what I mean.
Yeah, Ron, we all know what you meant. We got it, yeah. But thank you. This is such a surprise. Thanks for stopping by.
And can I tell you, Conan, you and Andy are outstanding broadcasters. I mean it.
Oh,
night in and night out.
Thank you.
You guys get it done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ron. That means a lot.
I've got one small criticism, and it's probably something only a professional like me would notice. But Conan, you look awful.
What? I look awful?
You look like someone put a bright red fright wig on a skeleton and chucked it out of a helicopter. I mean...
Really?
Yes. Yes. I'm being kind right now, okay? Let me give you some words of advice.
Okay.
Fire your hair lady.
Okay.
Okay, fire your makeup lady. Fire your gay wardrobe man.
Yeah.
And just go under the knife. Okay?
Okay.
Go into your doctor's office and point at your face and say, Doc, it's a page one rewrite.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ron, that's just terrible. That's very hurtful.
That comes from the heart. Andy, you look great. Don't change a thing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
You look great.
Thank you.
I don't know what you're doing, but keep it up.
All right, now listen. Right. So basically, that's the idea. You came on my show to play the flute and insult me? That was the idea?
No. I actually have an announcement. I want to announce this to everyone here in the Americas, to our friends in Spain, Turkey, and the UK, including England. that as of 0900 Mountain Time, Paramount Pictures and myself, Ronald Joseph, Aaron Burgundy, have come to terms on a sequel to Anchorman.
Oh. I got to admit, dude, nobody's happier than me.
There will be a sequel to Anchorman. There will be a sequel. Yeah. Gentlemen.
So there you have it. Anchorman, Ron Burgundy returns in 2013. Ron Burgundy's coming back. Now you got to tell me that's at least cool.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
They're going to wrap up shooting on December 20th of this year.
I can't wait. I'm telling you, this is going to be that cool. I love the first movie. I love the first movie. Now, from what I hear...
I didn't even watch the first movie.
Are you kidding me?
I don't like him. I don't even like him.
What is wrong
with you? I can't tell
you
one... I can't sit through one of his films. I've never sat through not one of them.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. I don't know. For some reason, that kind of humor doesn't appeal to me. That the Borats and who's that guy that don't mess with the Zohan? Who's that?
Oh, Adam Sandler.
I can't deal with him either. I tell you, I did. I happened to wake up on Anger Management one night in the middle, and I watched it till the end, or until I fell back to sleep.
I cannot believe that you don't like Will Ferrell.
No. I like the video with the little girl cursing him out, the little landlord lady.
That was kind of cool,
but...
That was Funny or Die. That's the website that he partially owns. Funny or Die.
Yeah, come on. Other than that, I tried watching Elf. Couldn't do it.
Even Elf was hilarious. As hokey that was hilarious.
I couldn't do it. I really, really couldn't do it.
So you've never seen you can't think of one movie you've ever seen with him in it?
Not one. All the way through. None. And those are the only two that I really know is Elf and...
What about Old School?
And nope. Didn't that star Jamie Kennedy?
Old School? No.
No, that's a Malibu thing. Didn't see that either.
I'm absolutely stunned that you've never seen a movie.
Listen, about 3 years ago... I just got into the Star Wars thing.
Oh, you're killing me every day.
3 years ago, I just got into it. But I can't go buy it without stopping and watching it. God forbid that and The Color Purple's on at the same time.
The Color Purple?
Then my remote doesn't get a rest then.
I cannot believe... Somebody check this man for a vagina. Hey, you're killing me.
I told you.
You're killing me.
What do you told him?
I told you.
I heard you back there, fella.
I've been waiting for
your DNA for a long time.
I'm stunned by this. Stunned.
Yeah, I can't get into a Will Ferrell movie.
I don't even know what to say to you.
I can't do
it. I don't even know what to say to you.
Borat,
I know.
Night at the Roxbury, any of that.
It's just
none of that ever appeals to me.
On Atlanta Housewives.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we'll wrap it up with
Nene and Sheree still beefing.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Actually, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to tell you something that I watched on Monday that I didn't bother to tell you. I don't know why I didn't bother to tell you, but I'm actually also excited about something that's about to come up in April that, Jay-Z, you will be proud that I am excited to see. When we come back, stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back 24 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. 347-308-8701 is the number. Before I actually get into the rest of this entertainment news, JC, you might want to check out something I found incredibly odd today. I went on Twitter earlier after I got this alert, and I was kind of stunned that I found this out. But Twitter has not taken down this account. Now, I believe that there is sort of a thing that you're supposed to do with Twitter, that you're supposed to adhere to a certain code, I guess, that they have.
Terms of service?
Right. TOS.
TOS, right.
So I literally look around, and I couldn't believe this, but there's a Kill Zimmerman Twitter page.
Really?
Yep, it's at Kill Zimmerman. And
I sent
a request to the person who put it up, asking them to come on the show. I don't know whether or not they're going to, but the person is unrepentant. And apparently he's white or some other ethnicity, but he claims on his Twitter postings that he is not indeed black.
Really?
Yep.
That is wild.
Very wild. But yep. A kill.
But, I don't know what's going on with Twitter, because it's a Twitter terms of service violation for you to put anybody's personal information out there, and did nothing to Spike Lee for it.
Exactly. Nor did they do anything to Roseanne Barr. And that's either because Twitter is slow, or they just don't monitor it in that fashion, but they clearly didn't. I just wanted to mention that. Anyway, going on to other entertainment news. This is I'm sick and tired of mentioning this broad's name, but I'm only mentioning it because of Chris Humphries, and that's Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Why does Humphries want to know the amount of money that Kim made off the wedding special? Nobody cared who she married. But according to the story, according to TMZ, Chris Humphries has filed legal docs asking the judge to reinforce the obvious, that Kim Kardashian has a duty to disclose how much money the couple raked in during their 72-day marriage. But Chris is also challenging Kim's right to give away money that represents what they made in wedding gifts. Chris's lawyer wants the court to reinforce that Kim has a duty to deal with him fairly and in good faith. And that includes giving him full accounting of the assets and liabilities accumulated during the marriage. In the documents, Chris's lawyer writes, a spouse may not make a gift of community personal property or dispose of community personal property for less than fair and reasonable value without the written consent of the other spouse. It appears that the lawyer is referring to Kim keeping the wedding gifts but giving double the value to charity, which I find very, very odd. I mean, why
well,
does
I mean,
he want...
I don't think he's playing ball anymore.
I mean, come on, dude. Like, keep it moving. Go back to playing basketball and be done with this broad. Like, you're dragging yourself into her notoriety, but for what reason?
Because he's entitled to half of that money.
Fair enough, but, you know, I don't know. For me, it just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, he's entitled to it.
That's fine.
And I say get every penny of it.
All right, if you got to get every penny of it, get every penny of it. Hey, Piers Morgan of CNN says he wants Madonna to get down on bended knee and apologize to him, but nobody seems to know what the hell the beef is about. Piers Morgan has beef with Madonna. What is with these old queens having beef with Madonna? First it's Elton John, now it's Piers Morgan?
Did you see him last night? You don't watch CNN, do you?
No,
last night it was horrible. I thought him and Lionel Richie were going to make love on a desk.
With whom?
Lionel Richie.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. It was horrible. It was like watching softcore gay porn. He kept begging Lionel Richie to sing hello to him.
Really?
Lionel was on there. He was on a show and he was promoting his
new
best
album
of CD.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a best of, but it's duets with country music artists.
Right. It's a new album, old material.
Right. Called Tuskegee. Listen to it. It's all garbage.
really?
I think the only song that was worth it, and I didn't know. I think they both released it years ago, and that's Kenny Rogers and him. I think they both released "Lady."
Kenny Rogers
duet.
He wrote it for Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers released it. He then sang it a lot later on, because
okay.
A lot of people found out that. And it's clearly, I mean, if you even hear Kenny Rogers sing it, you can clearly identify it's a Lionel Richie record. You know, and I love that song. It was a great song. I was a Kenny Rogers fan
awesome.
Growing up.
I agree, and I agree with you. But other than that, that's the only track that's on there that was like worth anything. Everything else was like really, really, really horrible. And they just added that country twang, that wow, that they do on, and
yes.
Oh wow, I gotta dig that information up for you too. That instrument that you always hear in the country music songs.
Yes, the wah wah.
That instrument was the wah wah. The wah wah. What did you call it?
Well, it's not a wah wah, but a wah wah is usually played on a bass. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's sort of a twang.
That was
that's
created
what gives
by a black man.
Yes, it was. Of course, it was.
It was created by a black man, and they stole it and took it over.
Oh, nobody stole it. Most people sold it and gave it away.
More than likely. Anything for a bucket of chitlins. But no, the album is horrible.
Right. But Pierce Morgan's was literally drooling all over. Yeah, I don't get him. I don't know if he's gay. I don't care. But, you know, I'm just sick and tired of these old English guys, you know, from the UK, got beef with Madonna. I mean, the girl was there for almost 15 years. Now all of a sudden they got beef with her. It's ridiculous. Anyway, in some hippity-hoppity news. Now, look, I don't know why this is relevant, but apparently it is. Rapper Rick Ross can keep his name thanks to an L.A. County Superior Judge. No, Rick Ross, the
really?
Rapper, can keep his name. Apparently, it was the guy who's the drug dealer, Freeway Rick Ross, tried to take the name back. Freeway Rick Ross has filed suit against the rapper, claiming ownership of the name. In fact, the rapper strongly intimated in his songs his name was inspired by the drug dealer. In the song Hustling, for example, Ross makes several references to large-scale drug dealing. Despite what Freeway says, the rapper never dealt drugs in his life.
No, he was a corrections officer.
Yes, he was a CL. Anyway, yeah. but a judge ruled today that Freeway Rick has no case and threw the entire lawsuit out. According to this, there has been an update. According to 4:50 p.m. Pacific time, Freeway Rick Ross tells TMZ he's pretty bummed out about the judge's decision, saying that I got hit in the stomach today. I feel crappy. He used the other word. Ross adds, Rick had 9 high-profile attorneys, and I had 3 volunteer non-high-profile attorneys. I had no money to get the big-name lawyers, so I couldn't go in there with a monster team like him. He concludes, the world knows the truth that Rick stole my identity, and shame on him that he won't give it back. I hope to appeal this, because you shouldn't be allowed to steal someone's identity and get away with it. Wait. You're supposed to be some thug, son. Why are you going to be some thug, son? He said he stole my identity and shame on him. You're supposed to say, no, son, I'm going to see you in the street, son. What's the deal?
And he's a big drug dealer.
I'm supposed to be a big drug dealer. I'm using terms like shame on him. Watch go in there and go pat him on the rear end. Mark ass buster.
Or go squeeze one of them big old titties.
Him over there, he said shame on him. He had bigger lawyers. You ain't no gangster, son.
He was supposed to settle that in the parking lot before he even got into the courtroom. You're the gangster.
Come on, dude.
Just be glad that Rick Ross paid homage to you.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like he didn't show you any love. Come on. Shame on you, Rick Ross. You stole my identity, son. Shame on you, you punk ass. He's a punk.
Hey, speaking of punk asses.
Yes.
Spike Lee, did you read it?
What, about the fact that he settled with the family?
Half-heartedly.
Well, he still settled.
That was a sucky apology, dude.
Dude, I said it in the beginning.
That was a sucky apology.
Of course it was a sucky apology. But they, you know what? You know what? The mother, the older woman, you know, the McClanes, who he terrorized with this tweet, they came back nicely enough and said, the reason why we forgave Spike Lee is because we wanted to show people out there that there was no racial tension between whites and blacks, and that whites and blacks can have a disagreement and settle it amicably. And look, I got to give them props. They wanted to do something that would show some positivity to this. But I'm sorry, Spike Lee's done, man. No offense, man, but he's dead to me now. He's dead to me. I've had
Listen, he's been dead for a long time.
He's officially
outside of that dead. Outside of that last movie that he did, that Miracle at St. Anne, every movie he's ever... Well, I take it back because I did enjoy School Days, and I did, like, Do the Right Thing. But anything other than that was garbage. Oh, no, I take it back. She's Gotta Have It, too. It was one of my early favorites. But
I'll never watch another movie of his ever. Never, ever watch another movie of his ever.
You've never seen A Miracle at St. Anne?
I saw it. I talked
about
it on
the show. That was a pretty good movie.
I was. But I'm
That was a pretty good movie.
He's dead to me now.
Did you see She's Gotta Have It?
Of course. I saw that. Of course. But he's dead to me now.
Clarissa St. John? You don't often wonder whatever happened to her?
I don't know.
We're talking about entertainment.
Out there, I think she's doing meatloaf commercials or something. I don't know. He's dead
no.
to me now.
No. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Clarissa St. John from She's Gotta Have It.
Yes,
I didn't
exactly
know.
What about.
Yeah, but do you know what other movie she played in?
No.
She was in New Jack City.
Where was she in New Jack City?
That was G Money's girl that Nino slept
that's
with.
That's having sex with Nino in the bed.
Right.
Really? That was her? Nobody cared. Anyway.
That's her. She's a Facebook friend.
You had to mention that, didn't you? Whatever.
She's a Facebook friend. Well, you know, I'm excited, though. Listen, this is my Super Bowl weekend, buddy.
Wait. Don't mention it. I want to talk about that. Relax. I've got that. I'm talking about the next hour.
Okay.
I found out that one of my favorite things in the world is dead. We'll talk about that when we come back, and then we'll talk about the thing that I did on Monday I didn't tell you about, all right? So stick around. I will talk to you about it, all right, when we get back at Truth Center Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Truth Center Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot. Today does mark the beginning of the end.
The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size, it is the right scope, it has the right priorities to create 3 to 4 million jobs. The federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life.
3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years.
Look at me. The stimulus is working.
Only 8 out of every 10 stimulus dollars for wind power have gone to foreign companies.
Not even a good junk bond.
Unemployment is still very high.
It appears that 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force in 1 month.
Well, I'm not going to say the recession is over until the unemployment rate is down to normal levels, certainly in the 5% range.
It knew the cars would be assembled in Finland.
The FBI raided bankrupt Solyndra.
Jobs in China.
$700,000 to create joke-telling software.
I didn't overpromise.
Shovel Ready was not as shovel-ready as we expected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a 0 on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. Levi, over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fine CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin stripped in New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, updated her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back 44 minutes after the hour right here on BlogTalkRadio.com. Now, I got some very, very sad, sad news today. And not Not, I guess not in a way that I shouldn't even take it as bad news. I should be happy because in a lot of ways I was disappointed a couple of years back. Let me give you a breakdown. So George Lucas is coming outside of some restaurant in California, and a cameraman asked him, what's up with episodes 7, 8, and 9 in Star Wars? Now, George Lucas already had trouble like crazy getting that Red Wings, Red Tails movie, whatever it was, getting that out. And so he pretty much just said, it's dead. Star Wars is dead. And it kind of broke my heart because it is. I mean, it is. It's dead. It's over. I'm going to have to grow up and face it. I knew it was over when I saw Attack of the Frickin' Clones and the Phantom Menace and that Revenge of the Sith. Straight garbage. Now, truth be told, a lot of people don't know this, but Revenge of the Sith is the worst film ever. And I've seen horrible films. Okay? I've seen horrible films. Pauly Shore, ring a bell? I've seen bad films. Revenge of the Sith was worse than any Pauly Shore film. It was god-awful. Killed Samuel L. Jackson. Had Darth Vader running around killing kids. Killing kids, damn it.
Younglings.
It was the most insane thing I've ever witnessed in my entire life in a movie theater. Darth Vader doesn't have to kill kids. I'll never forget that. The kids are all standing there when he walks into the school, the little Padawan school. And Darth Vader walks in, or Anakin Skywalker before he becomes Darth Vader, walks in and he's looking at the kids, and the kids are looking at him, and they know who he is. They're like, it's Anakin, it's Annie, we know you. Hey, what's going on, Annie? And he turns on his lightsaber. And the little kids are all sprawled out on the floor, dead.
Mows them down.
Unnecessary. We don't want to think that Darth is...
Well, I mean, he had to make his character evil.
We get that he's evil. Come on, he chokes up Natalie Portman. I mean, that was his love. He choked her out. Almost, well, killed her, in fact. Not that I'm saying that that was necessary either. You know, but she died giving birth. But come on. Do we really, really have to have him killing kids? So, yeah, in a sense, I'm...
Yearlings, right? Weren't they called yearlings?
I don't know. They were called Padawans.
Younglings.
They're the young ones, but they're you know, a Padawan. Little, you know, that's what all the young ones are called, the Padawans.
Well, I thought they referred to them as, like, yearlings or something like that.
You're confusing that with the movie called The Yearling.
No. Move on.
Well, George Lucas has finally decided to end the Star Wars saga. And look, I'm sorry that it had to die on such a sad note, but it did. And it's over. Now, let me get to the most important thing that I have to admit I'm a little excited about. So, Monday after the show, there's nothing on TV. I think NBC had on Smash.
Oh my God.
CBS had on the unforgettable TV show. With a broad that I actually find her to be kind of cute. The girl on Unforgettable. So there's nothing on television. I don't want to watch Greta Van Susteren. So I turn the channel, and what do I see on? Oh, my goodness. It's Monday Night Raw.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah!
I heard this on the TV. I was stunned.
Mary goes, what are you watching? And I said, what? What are you talking about? What are you watching? I said, I'm watching. Are you watching wrestling? I'm like, yeah. Why are you watching that? I was like, there's nothing else on. So I'm watching it, and boy, do I get it on a great night. Because one of the guys who I really, really like is, oh, well, two of the guys I really, really like are on that night, and it's John Cena and The Rock. And I have to admit, their little tete-a-tete in the ring, back and forth, I'll never forget it, especially for one thing that John Cena says to The Rock. It doesn't matter what you think. He threw it right back in his face. Now, I know this is Super Bowl weekend for the likes of you, JC. So go ahead and tell me.
Okay. What you caught was a very rare glimpse, and I'm about to bring you backstage real quick. What you ran into right there, that storyline with those two, WWF is in the era called reality right now.
Right.
This wrestling era is called reality next generation. Back when Stone Cold Steve Austin came out, and it was real raunchy, and most of the women were naked, running around naked, that was called the Attitude Era. This is the era that followed that, which is reality era. Those two, they've been poised to go at it since last WrestleMania. That's when that match was set for this coming WrestleMania, which happens April 1st.
Right.
They've been blasting each other, I mean literally blasting each other, unscripted, for a year.
Oh, really?
And every weekend, yes. Yeah.
So this is really personal.
Oh, yes, it's personal. Yeah. I mean, it's for business. It's for business, and they know it's for business. But they really don't like each other.
But even though they've kept it professional behind the scenes, like this is going to be a professional match, scripted as they do, But what they say to each other...
But because of the chemistry and them really not liking each other, Vince pulls that out on screen.
Right, right. He allows them to sort of air out their real differences on screen.
Right, right. I mean, just what you missed, if you had caught it last weekend, you know, The Rock rarely makes appearances on Raw.
Right.
He's
always
on
SmackDown.
His appearances now. Or SmackDown. He hasn't really been around for the past year because he's been doing movies.
Right.
And he only comes in just prior to WrestleMania to hype his match.
Right.
Which is one of this year's main events. Well, fans didn't know it. Nobody knew it until John Cena let it out, and this was like last week on Monday Night Raw. You know, The Rock comes in. He's real good on the mic. He spits that good crap. Fans go crazy for it, and they go nuts. And what John Cena revealed last week at the end of the show, right before they went off the air, seconds before the camera cut away to start the next show, he revealed that The Rock had his notes written on his wrist.
Wow.
And a camera panned it and caught it. And if you've seen The Rock's face when they cut away, it was like, I'm beating your ass backstage. And then
really?
Cena went, well, yeah.
See, I got to mention something about that, because that's what I wanted to talk about with this whole thing. It was the first time.
Yeah.
Now, look, I admit, I'm a Rock fan, and I'm also a John Cena fan. I got to meet John Cena, you know, back at the Power 105 days. And John Cena was a great
guy.
Right,
I remember when it was up there.
He was a great guy. But, you know, he's a Boston native. You know, so I've already got a little affinity for him anyway. So, but let
Boston.
Me tell you something.
Graduated Springfield College, just north of Hartford.
Let me tell you this. This is the part that makes me laugh. When Rock was doing his monologue before Cena comes out, he makes this one joke where he's talking about there's a lot of Hollywood starlets out there who are asking for when The Rock, when you're coming back. They always ask me, come on over to my house. Let me give you some of my pie and all this other stuff. And I said to her, Betty White, calm down. You know, he's making these jokes. And I'm sitting up there going, wow, that's kind of dry. Because he's funnier than that.
Yeah.
But when Cena came out.
That's funny to think. No. You see, one of his things is, what you got to understand, one of his things is when he talks about he's a trailblazing, wheeling, dealing, jabroni beaten, pie eating. The whole pie eating thing is all about cunnilingus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's
so
about.
So I know that.
And And to
when
mention that and
I
Betty Davis in the same sentence, what's that?
No. Say what you were saying.
Yeah, but to mention that and Betty Davis in the same sentence is hilarious.
Oh, Betty White. Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, Betty White, right. Betty Davis.
But when
wow.
he said that, even
really
I thought I was saying, okay, that was a little par for the course for even
reaching,
The Rock.
He was reaching.
But when Cena came out, Cena for me was way more entertaining. For me, it let me know Cena runs the crowd now. It's Cena's thing. WWE.
Well, Cena's there every week. He's there every week. The Rock is only there maybe once a month
right.
for the past year. And sometimes he would make a video appearance, never in person, until like 2-3 months before WrestleMania. That's when he'd pop up, and that's when it started to get really interesting. And right now the fans, I mean, Vince has got the fans so screwed up, they don't know whether they like him or whether they hate him.
That's the interesting part, because that's another part that I wanted to mention. The crowd sounded very anti-Rock when he came out.
Yeah.
It sounded like half the crowd was kind of booing him, and I think that's because a lot of people felt that he kind of left them. You know,
Exactly, and that's what Cena's been harping on. That's Cena's whole issue, is that quit claiming that you're WWE for life and you're never here. And I'm out here busting my ass 52 weeks a year every Monday night for their entertainment while you're off as the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. It's interesting. It is extremely interesting.
It's so bad. It's gotten so bad. These two, that's hyped up the biggest match on the show. And the second match is the second largest match on that card. This coming Sunday night, it's going to be The Undertaker versus Triple H.
Not interesting.
That's going to end. Yeah, hold on. Well, with Shawn Michaels as a referee. But that match right there is going to end, completely put an end to the Attitude Era. Undertaker's retired as of, he's done.
You think he's going to end 20-0?
I think, he's got to.
I think it's the best way to do it. That being said, let me go one more step. Do you know who it was great to see on Monday Night Raw?
Man, who's that?
Come on, man. You got it. How do you not know? You know who I'm talking about. Booker T.
He really dug himself into a deep hole when he left the WWE and went to TNA. Because he was on the contract negotiations, and he went down to go work for TNA because he got tired of the traveling. And he got to sit at home and fly into Orlando Studios or even drive there and work. And he made pretty decent money. He didn't quite make the money that he made in the WWE, but he really, really left without finishing his negotiations and sign with TNA. So Vince wasn't going to let him back. And as soon as Hulk Hogan decided he wanted to come into TNA, Booker T got swept to the side. So he's very lucky to be back in the WWE. But I think he's still at the top of his game.
It was
good to see him, though.
It was good to see him. It was good to see him.
Yeah.
He looks great. I mean, he was just as energetic. I love the guy. He did the whole, breakdancing move and whatnot. It was
Spinneroni.
Great. Yeah, it was great to see that. So, I'm not going to see it, but I'm sure you are going to give me the update when it, after it goes down on Sunday.
Listen, I'll be drunk with I'm going to be with Brutus Beefcake and Bob Backlund. Yeah,
oh.
I'll be with those two on Sunday.
Well, you got to give us an update on Monday, man. You got to give us an update when that happens.
I'm kind of hoping that the Iron Sheik is going to be there as well. There's rumors that he's going to be at the party as well. And
let us know what happens. And of course, look, I'm deep down, I am a fan. I'm kind of excited for
always
a wrestling.
Have been.
This is going to be a great. Hey, Vince McMahon keeps it great every time. All right, guys, we got to go. We got about 9 seconds. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Friday. Don't forget Friday Night Dance Party. Tomorrow. Yeah, we got to get out of here. It's over. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Reese on the Radio. For the entire crew, we love you. See you tomorrow.
Peace.